Apparitions of Our Lady of America to the United States, confirmed by Archbishop Burke of St. Louis and now of the Vatican. Messages for you and me concerning peace and the future of the world, powerful and critical for our times. Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we're going through the messages of Our Lady of America. Once again, these messages were established as already having ecclesiastical approval in light of the support of Archbishop Leopold of Cincinnati at the time. This is confirmed by Archbishop Burke, who is presently the highest canonical authority in the church. I want to go through these messages. In today's messages, we're going to talk about Our Lady coming on the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, talking about peace with a special message to her children in America, and also a reference about her being a symbol of the divine indwelling and a special patroness of the divine indwelling. All this portends great importance for you and me, and it's a call to action. So I want to read these messages so that you're clear. These are from the memoirs. These are from the exact words given by Our Lady to Sister Mildred. So forgive me for reading to you, but this is important stuff, and I want you to get it clear and directly in the words Our Lady gives. This is the message of October 7th, 1957, specifically a message to her children in America. This is from the memoirs. On the evening of the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary, October 7th, 1957, Our Lady again appeared. Her hands were clasped in an attitude of prayer. Her look was serious, though her countenance retained its usual deep serenity. Hanging from her right hand was a blue rosary of a glass-like quality. I was conscious of the fact that what she was about to say to me was not only very grave, but of the utmost importance. Our Lady reiterated in a similar manner her first warnings. Quote, "My beloved daughter, what I am about to tell you concerns in a particular way my children in America. Unless they do penance, by mortification and self-denial, and thus reform their lives, God will visit them with punishments hitherto unknown to them. My child, there will be peace, as has been promised, but not until my children are purified and cleansed from defilement, and clothed thus with the white garment of grace, are made ready to receive this peace, so long promised and so long held back because of the sins of men. My dear children, either you will do as I desire and reform your lives, or God Himself will need to cleanse you in the fires of untold punishment. You must be prepared to receive His great gift of peace. If you will not prepare yourselves, God will Himself be forced to do so in His justice and mercy. Making the rosary a family prayer is very pleasing to me. I ask that all families strive to do so, but be careful to say it with great devotion, meditating on each mystery and striving to imitate in your daily lives the virtues depicted therein. Live the mysteries of the rosary as I live them, and it will become a chain binding you to me forever. They who are found in the circle of my rosary will never be lost. I myself will lead them at death to the throne of my Son, to be eternally united to Him. Write these words upon your hearts, dear children, because of the compassion I have for you in my Immaculate Heart. Oh, if you knew the punishments I am holding back from you by my pleading and intercession on your behalf. Will you do as I wish at last, my children?" That's such a powerful message. First of all, notice what Our Lady is saying. She's talking about how indeed she wants us to receive the graces of peace. But there's a sense where we have to be purified, our hearts have to be ready to receive it, otherwise it'll be like a plant that takes no root. And so the process of this is one of two ways. Either we do it ourselves, we pray, we do penance, we mortify ourselves, we convert, we use the prayer and sacramental life of the church to be the proper receptacles of the peace of our Lord, or option B, if we don't cooperate, then God, in His justice and His mercy, will bring this process through chastisements, through punishment. And we all realize that when things like 9/11 happens, when punishments and chastisements happen, it returns us to God. But God doesn't want to do it that way. God wants to do it. And when I say God doing it, we're talking about permissive will. We're talking about God allowing these things to take place for our better good. God prefers that we do it. Think of a family. Think of a mom and dad. A mom and dad always prefer a child to do what's right without having to threaten punishment or to follow through with punishment. But the mom and dad, out of love, still has to form the child because they don't want adult brats, to use the vernacular. And so Our Lady, too, she wants us to be saints. And she wants us to have also the blessing of the peace, but to give the gift without having a retainer that's going to hold the gift of peace is not to respect the gift. So those are our options. And again, she specifies her children in America the call to do this. Otherwise, we're talking about untold and unprecedented challenges and purifications and punishments for our country. Now, then she talks about the rosary, making the rosary a family prayer. And she says specifically, pray the rosary with conviction. Pray it with devotion. Pray it slowly and, meditating on each mystery and striving to imitate your daily lives with virtues depicted therein. So she's basically saying, quote, live the mysteries of the rosary. And that's why families and parents especially, we've got to make time. I know we're in the most rushed, paced life of arguably all time, but we have control over that. We have to prioritize, and one priority has to be family rosary. She says specifically, if you're found in the circle of the rosary, you will not be lost. Now, she goes on in this message of November 22nd, 23rd, 1957, to talk about, she describes her role really as the co-redemptrix because she's crushing the head of Satan, but she's doing so also in the order of Our Lady of Divine Indwelling. Listen to the words of Our Lady. This again is message of November 22nd, 23rd, 1957, from the memoirs of Sister Mildred. Quote, our dear mother showed herself to me in a special way around 11:30 on the morning of November 22nd. The next day, a Saturday, the experience was more detailed, as more was shown me, or perhaps I had not noticed details the day before. This vision of herself is very important as it reveals Our Lady as she really and truly is, the Immaculate Tabernacle of the indwelling God. Our Lady was standing on a globe, her right foot resting on a crescent or quarter moon, the left on the snout of a rather small and very ugly looking dragon. I saw fire come out of his huge jaws, but not very much, as he could not open them wide enough because of Our Lady's foot. At times he seemed to be somewhat black, again of a shade of green. Our Lady was all in white. Her veil was so long that it seemed to envelop the globe halfway. Sometimes the veil appeared so transparent that Our Lady's hair could be seen through it, and the hair seemed to be sparkling with the light of many glittering stars. At times the edges of the veil, sleeves, and garments seemed to be outlined in light. The veil was held about her head by a wreath of white roses. Her feet were bare. The previous day, Our Lady had appeared with her hands outstretched. At this second visit, she slowly raised them, then crossed them on her breast, rather close to her waist. While doing so, she bent her head slightly forward, and it seemed that her eyes were closed, not just lowered. On her breast, as though through a veil, the triangle and eye, which is often depicted as the symbol of the divine indwelling, could be visibly seen. I said that Our Lady's feet were bare, that is, devoid of any kind of footwear, but on each feet was a large white rose. The roses, both on the feet and on the crown, were such dazzling white that the outlines of the petals could barely be seen, sometimes not at all. It seemed that a strong beam of light streamed from the divine presence within Our Lady on the globe at her feet. Then halfway around the figure of Our Lady, above her head, appeared a scroll on which were written in letters of gold the words, quote, all the glory of the king's daughter is within. Though it did not appear that her lips moved, yet I heard these words quite plainly, quote, I am Our Lady of the divine indwelling, handmaid of him who dwells within. She seemed suffused in a soft glow of light that appeared to come from within her. It seemed to permeate and, as it were, saturate her whole being, even her apparel and the roses. Now, so much with this, and just a brief comment. We are each tabernacles of the Trinity that comes with grace when we're in sanctifying grace. No one held within her the presence of the Trinity more than Our Lady. She is truly the tabernacle of the divine indwelling. Why is this so important? Because the more you realize that you are a walking tabernacle, the more you act like a person who is always surrounded and inundated with the Holy Trinity. It changes our love. It changes our ability to have charity. It gives us joy in suffering. So Our Lady is coming to America, not only as Our Lady of America, not only as the Immaculate Conception, but as Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling, because we need to immolate this as tabernacles who walk and speak with the Trinity in our presence. How much more is that going to help us to be instruments of purity for ourselves and also as instruments and icons of purity for the world? Much more on this. These messages are phenomenal. And I encourage you, you can go to OurLadyOfAmerica.org and get the full body of messages. This is something critical for our times. Pray and meditate, and let's respond to Our Lady. It's so important for our grace and for peace throughout the world. Mark Miravalli with Mary Cass. Thanks. God bless you.